fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Mary Healy. Dr. Healy is the professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She's a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, and she's the co-editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. And she's recently written a book I'd really recommend to you. You can get on Amazon. It's published by our Sunday visitor called Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World. And that's what we've been discussing here the first couple of days of this week. And we're going to spend the rest of this week, and hopefully in the future we can have Dr. Healy back, because there's so much in this book we're just going to touch on parts of it throughout the week. And anyway, I'd recommend you get on your computer and order this from Amazon. You'll really appreciate it. It's very practical, it's very accessible, and it's very inspirational. So welcome, Dr. Healy.
Thank you. By the way, a lot of people have pointed out to me that there's an interesting coincidence between my name and the title of the book.
Yeah.
Nomen est omen. There's something about my name that maybe is a sign that the Lord wanted me to do this as part of his call on my life. Yeah. And I think that's really true.
That's great. Yeah. I've just watched you grow in conviction and confidence and determination to help people lay hold of the truth that's in Scripture and the truth that's in the church about the need for healing to be a normal part of our life and our mission together as Catholics and as Christians. So thanks for doing it, by the way. It's really
great.
You've touched a lot of lives already. One of the chapters in the book, chapter 6, you talk about the role of faith. I wonder, what do you mean there? What are you trying to get at, the role of faith?
Well, as a matter of fact, if you look at the Gospels and ask, what statement did Jesus make more frequently than any other? The answer is, your faith has made you well. Jesus said that more often than he said anything else. Your faith has made you well. He says that to blind Bartimaeus. He says it to the one leper who returned to give thanks after he was healed of leprosy. He says it to the woman with the hemorrhage. And so Jesus himself is teaching us that faith is very significant in enabling us to either receive his healing power or to be an instrument of his healing power for others. Now, on the other hand, we can't say that faith is essential in every case, because there are cases where there's no apparent faith and Jesus heals anyway. So he's not stopped by our lack of faith. And yet he chooses to use our faith because he wants us to cooperate to the fullest degree in everything he does. And in fact, our faith can hinder him, as when he went to his own hometown of Nazareth and the people there had so little faith. And they said, you know, isn't this guy Jesus, the son of Joseph the carpenter? We've known him all our lives. Who does he think he is? And it said he could do no miracles there because of their lack of faith. So clearly faith plays an extremely important role in our interaction with Jesus and our experiencing of his healing power. So how do we grow in faith? Of course, at one point, the disciples said that to him, Lord, increase our faith. And his answer was very significant. He said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. So it seemed like he didn't directly answer their question, right? As so often happens, Jesus doesn't answer directly.
It's very true.
He brings them to a whole different level. And I think what he's saying there is not, oh, guys, your faith is so tiny, it's not even the size of a mustard seed. I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying, take the little faith you have, even a mustard seed-sized faith, and act on it. It's precisely by acting on whatever faith you have that it will grow. And as I have studied the Gospels in regard to healing, one thing that I've noticed that's very striking is that many of the people who were healed by Jesus had to contend for their healing. In other words, people didn't just hang out at home and say, you know, if Jesus wants to heal me, he can come on over to my house and heal me if he so chooses. No, they didn't have that attitude. They went after him. And sometimes very persistently, they went after him. One of my favorite stories is of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. And as you remember, the crowd is walking by the road. He asks, what's happening? They say it's Jesus of Nazareth. He must know something about Jesus because he begins to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And as you remember, the response of the crowd is, Bartimaeus, shut up, be quiet. You know, this is a solemn liturgical procession. Yeah. Jesus is a very important religious personage, and you shouldn't be shouting out to him that way. And if you think of an afflicted person who's already a marginalized person, he's a beggar, he's blind, he's totally dependent, he's down and out. Sometimes that kind of pressure can be very discouraging, very hard to resist. And yet, if you look at what Bartimaeus does, he shouts all the louder. Yeah. He ignores what the crowd is telling him to do, which is really what the crowd is telling us to do today. Just, you know, be quiet. Don't be shouting after Jesus. Don't be pestering him for healing. Just stay in your place. But he shouts all the louder until Jesus finally hears him in the midst of the throng, calls him over, says, "Bartimaeus, what would you like me to do for you?"
It's a beautiful scene. Yeah.
It's such a powerful scene. Really, just imagine the crowd. And it's so funny because all of a sudden their attitude changes. "Oh, Bartimaeus, take heart. He's calling you."
Yeah.
As if he needed to take heart,
right?
And so he says to Jesus, "Master, I want to see." And at that moment, he received his sight. And it's a story of conversion, right? Because he cast off his cloak, which symbolizes the old life. He follows him on the way. That means he becomes a disciple. His whole life is changed. Exteriorly, he now has vision. Interiorly, he now has revelation of who Jesus is. And he knows that he's Lord. And he knows that Bartimaeus' whole life and whole identity is to be a follower of Jesus. So he had to contend for his healing. He had to fight for it, so to speak.
Some people relate to that and would say, well, you know, who am I to ask for healing? And I'm not worthy and all that sort of thing. There's a funny relationship with the Lord on that level. The scripture is pretty clear. God loves faith. He loves expectant faith.
Yes.
It stirs his heart. It moves his heart because it believes the truth about Jesus, that he loves to heal, that he loves his people, and that he's got the power to do it, that he's able to do it. That all seems to be a part of it that's often missing folks.
That's
and you don't feel like I'm not worthy to ask. And here's Bartimaeus just crying out. Really, that's his heart cry. And Jesus loved that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I even heard a priest say recently, "God has so many things to take care of. I don't want to bother him with this request for my knee pain or my arthritis or whatever it was." And I thought, oh, what a limited view of God you have. And how many Catholics and Christians have that kind of limited view, as if God's arm is shortened, as if he doesn't have infinite power and knowledge and love and ability to heal and to touch and to bring life to everybody who comes to him for life. So he loves that spirit of boldness, of holy boldness. You look at the story of Jesus and the woman with a demonized daughter, right? She's not a Jew, so she's kind of an outsider. She's, you know, a second-class citizen from a Jewish perspective. And she comes to Jesus, and he seems to refuse her, right? When she asks him to heal her daughter, he says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Well, that sure seems like a put-off, right? And yet that lady has chutzpah. She is not turned off. She's not discouraged by what Jesus says. She's all the more determined. She says, "Oh, Lord, come on. Even the dogs under the table eat the scraps that fall from the table." And what does Jesus respond? Is he, you know, upset at her audacity? No, he's thrilled. He's thrilled. He says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." And I picture the whole scene between the two of them with Jesus with a kind of twinkle in his eye. You know, there's kind of almost a teasing going on. He was trying to awaken that kind of faith in her. Yeah. And he says, "Go home, it shall be done for you as you have said." And her daughter is healed in that moment. So I think the Lord wants to build up in us that kind of audacious faith. And so many of the saints have said things like that as well. St. Catherine, St. Faustina. You know, ask the Lord with a boldness, a childlike confidence. St. Teresa of Lisieux is another one who advocates that. And as we do, we will see the Lord more delighting to answer our prayers than we could have dreamed possible.
And there's like two sides when we think about our own lives. There's two dimensions of actually praying with people. There's the holy boldness and the audacious faith I have if I'm going to pray. I need to have for praying with people. The Lord wants me to have faith that God will act. Because people say, well, I could see, obviously, he's going to work through the Holy Spirit works through Jesus and the apostles and those special people. But Jesus wants us to elevate that awareness in our own lives, and then helping the gospel can help, and good preaching and other things can help build people's faith to receive what's possible.
Yeah.
Right?
One of the major ways to build faith is to hear testimonies. I think there's an extremely important role for testimony in the Christian life that we're not aware of for the most part, and we've neglected as Catholics. To hear somebody testify to how they've been healed miraculously, or how somebody else has been healed through their prayer with expectant faith, that just brings faith through the roof. And I've seen that at a meeting, for example, a healing service or prayer meeting, when somebody testifies to a miracle that the Lord has just done, everybody else, their faith, you can almost feel the faith in the room rising, and then there's room for the Lord to do more.
Yeah, can you give a concrete example of that?
Sure. I co-led a course in our parish, Christ the King, in Ann Arbor, with our pastor, Father Ed Friede, on the spiritual gifts a couple of years ago. And at one point, we asked people to pair up with somebody they didn't know, pray together, and ask the Lord to get a word or a sense for the other person. And this young woman, Tyrion, paired up with somebody who didn't know her very well. And he said to her, I think the Lord is saying there's going to be a major change and healing in your life, something along those lines. And she said, did you know about my allergies and food intolerances? And he said, no. She said, wow, gosh, it must mean that. So her faith rose up just by his praying and getting a sense from the Lord. And so after that, there was a prayer meeting, and she asked four of her friends, could you pray over me for the healing of my allergies? Because somebody has a sense from the Lord, he wants to do that. So these four people also prayed with great faith and expectancy. So there was this kind of atmosphere of accelerating faith, mm-hmm. so to speak. And she was prayed over. She went home and she began to eat blueberries, ketchup, and pickles, all kinds of things she could never have eaten before. And she said, no hives, no rash, no, all of the symptoms that she used to get, gone. And it's been over a year since then. She's completely healed.
Yeah, it's a simple and a beautiful little story. Just ordinary folks in a parish who are trying to obey the word of God, trying to follow Jesus and to do what Jesus called them to do. So people are stepping out and extending hands and praying with one another. And as faith builds up within the community, when there's an expectation, he's here, he's alive. I love Pope John Paul II's line said at one point, the Catholic lives with the conviction that Jesus Christ is risen, that he's alive, that he's acting in the present today, and he's changing lives.
Amen.
And yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And that's what you're describing, and that's just kind of leaders stirring up that faith based on the conviction and the truth of who Christ is and how he wants to act in our lives. And friends, that's how Jesus wants to work in your life too, because he knows you, he loves you, he's called you, and he's commissioned you to join in his mission and to be an extension of his kingdom in the lives of other people. It's not a matter of how much you know, it's a matter of who you know, and knowing that he's called you and he's anointed you for that work. And Dr. Healy's going to be with us again tomorrow. Tune in and tell your friends to tune in. She's going to share with us more stories of what she's seen and she's experienced as we move forward. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.